Item 15 is back to Mr. Hawes, report and possible discussion. Investment officer's report for the first quarter.
Okay, another item. This is the quarterly investment auditor's officer's report that, of course, is actually required on the Public Funds Investment Act. And today we have Linda Patterson is here today. Linda is with Patterson Associates in Austin, has been our investment advisor and consultant for the last several years, and helps us with investing our portfolio of excess funds that we have. And I'll give a quick summary of this, and then I'm going to have Linda come up. She's got a couple of slides where she's going to talk just a little bit about sort of what's happening in that market and what the impact is to us. As you can see, and again, the report, the detailed report is in your book. At the end of November, our total portfolio balance, both restricted and unrestricted funds, was nearly $77 million. You can see down there at the bottom. Our average yield to maturity actually has already started to go down slightly. As I mentioned before, we're going to continue to probably see that, and Linda will speak to that in a minute. But it started to go down as rates we're beginning to see the impact of rate reductions and stuff, and probably we'll see them in the next few quarters. But anyway, you can see what's happening there. But again, everything is sort of consistent with what we expect, and we continue to invest that. And invite Linda to come up here, and I think we've got a couple of slides to bring hers up, and she can go through just out.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I can't imagine why you want to talk about economics or the investment environment right now, because it's been so stable and reasonable and no questions for anybody about where we're going here. Let's start a little bit about talking about exactly how we got here, and I think you've heard a lot about this and probably have a good idea yourselves about how we got here with the interest rates that were so very low for about about 2 years. We created a situation where we had very cheap money, very low rates, lots of people buying mortgages, buying housing. We also had what comes along with cheap money, a lot of greed, a lot of speculation, and eventually into a fraud situation. We also had a situation that compounded our problem here, which we had lower regulation, the technology now that allows lending to be done not through highly regulated banking institutions, but through unregulated institutions. So we had a lack of regulation, a lack of credit verification, and we had a lot of people ending up buying mortgages that they shouldn't. What ultimately happened was that we packaged these subprimes and low credit mortgages and package them, as the market tends to do, into a derivative product. And the derivative products have a use, and they have a reason for being, and one of those reasons is to spread the risk. We were very effective at this time because we have spread it globally. And that risk now has not been concentrated in the United States. It truly is spread across the globe, and we're seeing a reaction to that. Now, our Federal Reserve, as you can see in these four charts, I wanted to bring you an idea of four major things that are happening. The Fed has been responding to this, and they have been quite creative. They started last summer working on extending the liquidity through the window, extending liquidity without a direct reaction to the market, until they started to actually cut the rates that get the media attention. Where they've also created tariff funds, or TAFEs. So we saw a lot of good planning go into this, a lot of creativity. Unfortunately, the reaction last week, which ultimately turned out to be a reaction to fraud at the SocGen or Société Générale Bank, probably hurt the credibility of the Fed, and that is going to take something which a lot of this comes back to a lot of time to work themselves out of it. There's also a lot of discussion now, will there be a recession? The R word seems to be the big word right now. And if you look at some of the factors that are going into this, you can see why we're getting to that kind of discussion. The top two slides are new home sales and housing starts. And one of the reasons that we always start with housing is because actually two-thirds of our GDP is the consumer, and half of what the consumer spends is on his house. So it is incredibly important to our economy to look and see what's happening in these housing areas. The first thing that's happening is the mortgage resets. And since we're adding more liquidity and since the rates are coming down, the resets are going to start working out here. So those long, slow trends going down on housing starts and on new home sales will eventually start to pull around. We have lots of other options. The new bill that went through last week in Congress, doubt is going to have much effect here, but time is really what's going to affect that kind of problem in the housing area, getting people so that we can get them out of these resets that are going to jump 5% and 6%. The other part of the housing that I think is probably better indicated here and illustrated is the fact that we have an overhang. It's simply going to take time to work out of that, especially since you had during this session of creating the problem, you had a lot of people who could take zero down on a house, and they pay very low interest, they can walk away from it. So we have a lot of speculators, and we have a lot of people who, quite frankly, shouldn't have been in the category to own the kinds of houses that they have purchased during this period, walking away from houses. So that's adding to the inventory overload right now. So the problem, is the problem deep? Yes, it's very deep, and it is also being affected by the lower left-hand graph there, which is not a dollar yen or a dollar euro, but that's the dollar against a compilation of foreign currencies. And there's been a lot of discussion on this because people are worried about the dollar and what's happening there. The dollar was allowed to slide for a very good reason for several years. And as it did, it helped our trade imbalance. It's gotten us in a much healthier position as far as foreign trade is concerned. That's a very healthy thing for us. Once it started to get too low and sort of past the halfway mark there, then we see a lower confidence in our dollar. And that then will go into the foreign markets, so we have people who don't want to own our debt, and obviously that's how we finance our binging in this country. So it's important for them to be able to keep their confidence up. There's been a lot of discussion from some of the growing economies, especially China, that they will get so concerned about our dollar and the strength of our economy that they will start selling out the dollar wholesale. Unlikely to happen because their currencies and the currencies of several nations across the globe depend upon the dollar, plus they own so much of the dollar. It's a balancing act for them. So they're watching the value. They may sell out of some of it, but they can't let the dollar go too low. So that's going to help us bring it back. Really, what you're looking at there in the lower left is a global readjustment. It's a readjustment that the mighty greenback is not going to be the mighty greenback. It is simply not going to be as powerful as it once was. It can't possibly be. We were at one time half of the world's economy. We're now a quarter of it. So we have to make this adjustment in the dollar, and perhaps we're getting a little more reasonable there rather than actually a true weakness that's being created. When you look at that, I look at the impact of the Far East. I look at the impact of the Silk Road, which is the new term for all of that economic information and economic business that is happening all the way from the Far East into Africa. The last graph here on the lower right-hand side is retail sales, less autos. And you can see here that this is a very volatile situation. It's one we watch very carefully. The consumer has to be watched because his wealth effect from, or the perceived wealth effect of what happened in Michigan and with the houses will start to slow the consumer down. They didn't buy as much at Christmas. We're watching to see if they'll come back. It's not as drastic as it looked last quarter, but it's still not a very healthy situation. On the next slide, we have to finish the thought, will it be a recession or is it simply another bubble? After you run a marathon, you have to rest. After you party for a certain while, you have to get rid of the hangover. And that's really what we tend to see coming in here. Up on the upper left-hand corner, of course, is one of the most important parts. It's employment, the non-farm payroll, and we get another read on this coming up after the meeting this week, where we will probably see another 50% or 50 basis point cut in the rate. Where you have had significant declines in payrolls is up in the Michigan area, of course, the auto area. But I think you'll see down on the last part there, that's from 04, looking at what's happened. There's definitely a downward trend, but we've been staying close to 5%, or we've been under 5% for a long time. That's full employment. And if we can keep people from laying off, and because of the diminishing workforce, that's probably a good bet. We can keep people in force. We can keep their confidence up. So non-farm payrolls looking not as bad as you might think. The second one, of course, everybody remembers this every time they pull up to the gas pump, although it takes a long time to get there. We have hit oil and traded it at $100. We're back down this morning to $87.40. So there's a six-month lag there, even though you think it's being built into the pump day to day. There's really a six-month effect there, and that's what we have to watch very closely with oil and all the other commodities because of their effect, as we see down in the lower right, that the commodity prices are pointing towards inflation. Inflation is the job of the Fed, and the Fed has to watch for this dramatic increase. We're seeing a creeping up in the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, and the PPI, the Producer Price Index, but it's going to take a while, and you don't want to get the rates too low because that will kick off inflation and bring it back up again. Summarizing all of these points is the GDP, or the gross domestic product, that's down in the lower left-hand corner there. And we have definitely come off our highs. Obviously, again, another substantial trend line there. We were building. We were growing at 4 to 5%. We're not going to be there anymore. We're going to be at 1 to 2%, if we're lucky, up closer to 2%. But all of these look negative. There are lots of good points in the economy. There's a tremendous strength in our economy. Small business hasn't been affected that much. And if we get an additional from the bill last week, an additional impact on small business taxes, that should help a little bit too. Profits in the global large corporations are very strong. Corporations, small and large, are sitting on huge pockets of cash. So when they want to put this cash to work, they're going to do it, and they're going to do it in a substantial way. The stock market, of course, is one of the things that's reacting to this. We're very much a quarter-to-quarter kind of people, and we are reacting violently in the equity markets to this kind of situation. On the next graph, on the next slide, you can see exactly what's happened. And I've taken the yield curve here and scrunched it down a little bit shorter than you're used to seeing in order to show you that there are really three main things happening here, three reasons for what's happening. In the front end of the curve there, and you're looking at overnight out to 30 years, you can see that we went from, this is 6 months ago, 12 months ago, and today, the lower one being today. And you can see on that red line on the top that what the market was anticipating was that short interest rates were going to go down a little bit. Hence, they were dropping down, even though the longer rates were going up, which said, we're going to have a short pause here. The interest rates are going to go down, but we'll all readjust to it. That was about the time, actually about this time last year, that we were recognized that there were some problems in the housing area, but we didn't have an idea of how bad this had been and how much of it had rolled through to the derivatives area. And since then, on the short end, you have the Fed reacting. So you've come down about 2.5% overall in that short end of the curve, which is unfortunately where your investment policy, where your money has to be invested. So you can see what John was talking about earlier, why this is being pulled down dramatically in the front end. We thought it was going to be short-lived. It's not. About 2.5% change there. About 1.5% of that is due to the conditions that exist. This overall weakness, this panic in the derivatives and the mortgage back and the subprime and spreading that risk. Another 1% of this is really due to safe harbor. and that is that there's so much uncertainty that money is going into the safest place, the highest credit quality, the most liquid markets in the world, and that's what this is, the United States Treasury curve. So a full percent of that impact has been people running in. I'm sure yourselves, you don't go out and buy something now. You might just, I'm not going to buy that equity. I'm going to go back and put it into a money market. That's where the money markets live. That's where the money is. That's a supply and demand issue. So a lot of that can be changed very, very quickly. And that's part of what's in that circle there. There, of course, is another third smaller portion, thank heavens, right now, and that is the terrorism premium. There has been in our curve for a long time a terrorism premium. It's why we saw that the 6 months and 12 months, the curves were very flat. And that means that the curves didn't know where interest rates were going to go. So now we look at the curve, and how we've been looking at your portfolio is that when that new money was coming in, since the market anticipated that interest rates were going to go down just a little bit, but they were definitely going to go down on the short end, everything that was issued was callable. It's very difficult to find something that was not callable. So the portfolio has a lot of callable paper in it. As do all portfolios right now. It has mostly agencies because you can see that the treasuries are way too expensive to buy. It's overdone, and it will have to come back again. Now, we've had a 75 basis point cut from the Fed, the market, and we do also fully believe that on Thursday this week you're going to get another 50 basis point cut. We're going to be sitting overnight at 3%. So this is what is guiding us at this time. We think that the short-lived but seemingly endless derivative problem and the mortgage and the housing inventory and overhangs will start working themselves back out again. You'll see some money coming back to work from the corporations who have to put it to work, to people who are going to feel that there's a little bit more stability in the market as things settle out. Still going to keep that terrorism premium in there, but you're going to see a couple of things come to pass. You see how dramatically we go down on the front end. That's going to come down, flatten out in the front end, and then the curve tells you very clearly that we are going back up in rates. So as we have tried to extend the portfolio, and that's why you're still sitting above 5%, which looks great now when we're looking at 3% in the short-term market. But we fully anticipate it to go back up. So the portfolio is very, very liquid right now, which we don't particularly like because it's at the mercy of the short-term market. But it is something that will definitely change as soon as we get a little bit of a bounce here when people get the credibility of the Fed back in order. I'd be glad to answer any questions you have. I hope that gives you an idea of where we've come from and where we're going with the portfolio.
Questions?
May I just say that was the most informative presentation I've had.
That's right. That is. That was excellent. That was excellent. Thank you very much, Suzanne.
Thank you.